Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the ninth month, the third day of the year 2023, and it's the 14th Lord's Day after Pentecost, which the Lord hath made.
Blessed be glad and rejoice therein.
I'm going to mention some of the brothers here are called, and a lot of them are called to be priests and eventually bishops. And which means you got to study and learn the faith. And of course, you got to know the profession of faith and the dogmas, but you also have to know how to refute them. So if somebody comes along and you believe in the dogma, like this just happened with something we were talking about when the Dimer brothers were saying, you mean to tell me, Arbrini says everybody in the Vatican II Church under J.P. Tuesday is outside the church, even infants. Or where they deny the salvation dogma themselves, if you read about them, where they believe that. Yeah. But, yeah. Well, Augustine and Matthäus and Will and a lot of the guys that are called to do the studying, my thing is, so I don't have to redo what I already did, but it's like me typing my whole book up there again, and so you don't make mistakes in defending the thing the right way, you need to be reading my books. Now, once you read my books, then you get the right argument, then you got the case. Now, I'm just going to use this one example, what happened here, and Augustine's good, because in Matthäus and Will and a lot of the brothers of Phil even, at least you can study and the catechism. You're obligated, is what I'm saying, is to read some of these deeper books I have, because you don't have to read, like, okay, desecrations. I'll give you an example. You don't read that whole book. You just look at a couple of desecrations. You know, Hellenization. You got an idea. I'm talking about dogmas, like about formal heretics. What makes a formal schismatic? How come these people in the Vatican II Church today, infants included, are not Catholic? Why? And you want to give the right answer. Now, of course, you'd hold the dogma and say, anybody in these later days of the great apostasy, since JP2 and all that, are in the Vatican II Church, they're all not Catholic. You have to give the reason why, though. Now, if you give a wrong reason, you're not a heretic, but it's going to sort of backfire on you, right? So this is sort of what the Diamonds were saying. And Augustine answered it not the right way. He said that they were all heretics. Now, most of them are. But here's what the answer is to that, like infants, okay? And it goes back to the salvation dogma. If the church, it all has to do with the local church they belong to, and we're talking about the Vatican II Church. So if your local church is not a Catholic church because it's teaching publicly and promulgating heresies, that's not a Catholic church. Even though you think it is, even though you think you're Catholic. I quote from my article, How Catholic Churches Become Non-Catholic Churches. A Catholic church becomes a non-Catholic church in three ways. By schism. Number two, by doubting or denying a basic dogma. Three, by culpably doubting or denying a deeper dogma. For a church to become a non-Catholic church, the head priest of the church must either teach the schism or heresy to the flock, or allow it to be taught by a priest or someone else under him. Schism or heresy is taught to the flock and thus in the church, either from the pulpit or lectures or the classroom or catechisms or newsletters or in any other way. And everybody that belongs to that church is first and foremost not a heretic, which is a schismatic. My brother owes me $10. Well, you know, because he's been...
They're adhering to a
Catholic
church.
Yes, exactly it. They're adhering to, that's it. Yeah. Not because they're heretics. Now, a lot of them are heretics. That's secondary. Because if you don't say that, the infant gets off the hook. Because what does it take to be a heretic? What they teach you is use of reason. You got to learn it. And you got to be... Even Augustine believed that. You need to be taught the dogma, and you have to deny it to be a formal heretic. But Augustine believed, like we do, the dogma... And he was right. The first reason these infants are out, or these people, is because they're in schism. They do not adhere to a Catholic church. It's the same thing as a Lutheran or an Anglican. Now think of this. Anglican babies that are baptized into the Anglican church. The first and the dogmatic reason is they are schismatics. Augustine believed that. And that's the salvation dogma. Because they're adhering to a non-Catholic church. And they inherit, my opinion, now this is my opinion, that even the infants are formal heretics. But that's my opinion. Augustine didn't believe that. I believe that. My reasoning, and I go, well, if you read my books, you'd read all of this. The reason I believe they're formal heretics is because they inherit the faith, the bad faith of their parents. The proper term is not inherited, but imparted. I'm going to quote from our profession of faith and the latter for the great apostasy. It is an allowable opinion, and one that I hold, that one's voluntary sin can be imparted to another in the case of parents or other guardians imparting to their infants their pagan or heretical faith and allegiance. And just like when Catholic infants get baptized into the Catholic Church, where do they get their faith from? Their parents. They don't have the use of reason. So if Catholic infants get their faith from their Catholic parents, Anglican infants get their faith from their Anglican parents. So Augustine was wrong. I believe he was wrong on this. This is my opinion, though. He didn't take it the other way. So my thing is, the Anglican infant's an Anglican. He's a formal heretic, too. He inherits the bad faith of his parents. That's my opinion. See, so my point is, if you try to say those kids are heretics, you're gonna get hung. You can say what I said here. That's my opinion. But the dogma is they're schismatics. And that's what it got to say. First and foremost, they're schismatics. Even Cyril Jerusalem said about the Arian children and infants. And he says, I don't care what heresies they hold. All I need to know is they don't belong to the Catholic Church. That's all I need to know. They're schisms. He said they're in schism. I don't care anything. You're in schism. Get away from me. I don't care what you believe in. Remember St. Augustine talking about pure schism? He said you can hold all the dogmas. You can have all the sacraments. But if you're not adhering to the Catholic Church, it's all worthless.
Yep.
So this is what they were discussing. This, and Augustine put it down as heresy. But no, it's first schism. And if you don't answer it the right way, and I went all over this, by the way, in the Diamond Brothers Denied a Salvation Dogma, and baptized non-Catholic infants and children. If they would have read those books, you would have got the full answer. Now, sometimes it's deep. You have to read it a second time, maybe, or read it carefully one time, and you'll get it. Because I think Mateus was saying, well, I don't have too much of a history of the salvation heresy. When did it start? And, yeah.
I think it's bad books on the salvation dogma. That's the one you find it in now.
Right. Well, that's where you get the history of it. But my explanation of what I'm just telling you about the schism and all that, that's in the Diamonds Denied of Salvation and the Baptized Not Catholic. The Bad Books on Salvation gives you the historical record of these guys denying the salvation dogma.
Right.
And, oh, yeah, you're right.
It's lower down. I think it's
yes,
it's
you're right. Where they tell you about schism and all that, that's in there too.
Yeah.
The Diamond Brothers Denied of Salvation Dogma is in a separate book. It's in a refutation menu. And the Baptized Non-Catholic Infants and Children and Bad Books on Salvation are in my book, The Salvation Dogma and Related Topics. That's all in there. You're right.
Yeah.
So the testimony, because he was saying, where did the diamonds get this from? I said, they got from the Salvation Heretics, which go back to the 16th century, really. It started in the 16th century with Pigius. He has a good name, don't he, Pigius? And it got worse as it went on. It progressed. You know, and the reason it started too was because of the Indians when they discovered the Americas. That's what caused it.
Yeah.
And they went, how could God let these people stay there for 1,400 years, even go back to the Old Testament era, and they're all going to hell? Yeah, they couldn't believe that. So they had to open the door of salvation for of invincible ignorance. The Diamond Brothers are denied us long when it comes to baptized people. They believe every baptized child in an Anglican church is Catholic. And there's Catholic, even when they attain the use of reason, as long as the Catholic faith isn't preached to them. The only way they can become not Catholic is if somehow somebody teaches them about the Catholic faith and they obstinately deny it and become formal heretics. So as you recall, I'm going over this again. If you guys read this, you would have seen it. This one guy we knew who was a Lutheran, he was fighting with the dime. He says, you mean to tell me that I grew up in a Lutheran church. I never heard about the Catholic faith until I was 20 years old. So are you telling me that until I was 20 years old, I was Catholic when I was going to the Lutheran church and never heard about the guy? They said, yes. He got scandalized. He almost fell out of his socks. Now, that's common sense. Anglican babies go to Anglican churches with Anglican parents. How could this kid be Catholic? Let alone, it gets worse even, because then when he gets the use of reason, he's still Catholic. So what I said was, okay, so we got the Amish communities that never teach anybody at all about the Catholic faith in the Amish community. It's verboten. They speak German in the community. Verboten! That means every Amish is Catholic. Think about it. They were never taught the faith. They never became formal heretics. Thus, they can be saved by invincible ignorance. Diamonds believe that. I don't know if they changed their position since then. Read it. That's what they believed. The first thing we say is, invisible ignorance cannot get you what you need to be saved. Tell it to the pagan on the island. He's invincibly ignorant of the Catholic faith. Well, then he can't be saved. Doesn't matter. No, invisible ignorance of the Catholic faith, he's not guilty of hearing the faith and denying it, but he's guilty of all of his other mortal sins and sins against the faith in his own false religion. I go over that too. Every false religion and false God has obvious falsehoods. I call them noble falsehoods that you can reject by God's grace and a natural law. So that anybody who belongs to a false religion or false God or no religion is already guilty. In God's eyes, totally guilty.
Yeah.
Now, if God sees you rejecting one false religion after another because you detect it, he'll get you eventually into the true church, so you're going to hear it.
Yeah.
Now, like Augustine was, it's good that he wants to refute the diamonds and brief them, but you got to do it the right way. Secondly, I already did refute them, so I don't know how much more. I'm not really so crazy about going to refute them. It's good, the last articles you put out, you do need little brief things to bring people's attention to all the stuff they're believing in. But when you look at all the stuff they're holding, desecration, what do I care so much to waste much time on them?
Yeah.
All right? We spend a little bit of time. I thought what Augustine did in his work on us was good and necessary. His last two articles, but they're good. I even wanted to do a little update myself. Because you want to hammer them a little bit. But something brief, and then you refer them to my articles. But if you're not reading the whole truth of the matter, you're going to misstate something. The diamond roller is going to use that against you, and it's going to backfire.
Yeah.
But you talk about, as an example, first they started to get, it was because of the pagan Indians. Then some people say, well, no, I only believe the baptized people can be saved. They all that heresy. Mm-hmm. Now, Father Michael Mueller and Orestes Bronson were apostates for other reasons, and Mueller was even an apostate on the Salvation Dogma. He held it, but it was like Alphonse. You read his book, then he gets to one point, and he presents it as an allowable opinion, like it's not heresy if you don't hold it.
Yeah.
But my point was, they were fighting against the Salvation heretics that were talking about, how could somebody be guilty if he never heard of the Catholic Church? He's baptized. And so the biggest mistake was, number one, that infants baptized into heretical non-Catholic sects are Catholic, and they get all the grace of baptism. That's heresy.
Yeah.
From day one, the church never held that. That's why you got to read my book. When Arian family converted to Catholicism, the kids had to come in too, even the infants. They had to bring them in. The infants, all they would do, lay their hands upon them. They had to come in. If they got to come in, that means they were out.
Yeah.
Right? So the minute you start making these people Catholic, I believed in this heresy, by the way, early on in. We were all taught that. Oh, anybody's baptized, even if it's validly, it's also legal. So he gets all the graces. It's odious, though, when you look at it now, you see? And so if you got that Lutheran child, he gets baptized. Oh, he's a Catholic, even though he's going to the Lutheran church, never heard of Catholicism. So it starts with that, okay? Well, Mueller and Bronson were fighting against that, and even Augustine, great teachings on that. No, they're not Catholic. The first thing, they don't have the use of reason, how can they be formal heretics? They're schismatics, because they're adhering to a non-Catholic church. They don't belong to the true Catholic church, and there's no remission of sins outside the true Catholic church, and they were baptized into a non-Catholic church. It's that simple. Schismatics. Formal heresy will come later when they achieve the use of reason, and they learn about a Catholic dogma, and they deny it. But my opinion is, that's in my opinion, I think they're all guilty of formal heresy, even as infants, because they inherit their parents' faith, their bad faith, and they don't have the excuse of, like, as a Catholic, you'd have to be obstinate. And they don't have that excuse, because you know we say, when we take the oath, we say, act of faith. I believe in all the Catholic Church teaches because God has taught it. We make that. That covers us. So when a Catholic denies a deeper dogma, he's still a Catholic. He can still be Catholic if he's not culpable. Because he's in the Catholic Church. Because he's saying, I want to believe it. I just invincibly ignorant of it. You're out of the church. You don't have that option. You're gone. You can't be protected. That's my opinion. You don't have to. You can read that. Augustine didn't believe that. He believed you needed to hear about the dogma, even those, and then deny it. That's my opinion. But the first thing is, they're in schism. They do not belong to the true Catholic Church. So you're going to tell me you've got a Lutheran neighbor that's got seven kids that are going to the Lutheran Church, and all those kids are Catholics? All those babies are Catholic? Oh, and even maybe the parents themselves, if they never heard about the Catholic faith. I mean, this is how they hung themselves. And what they would say is, Mueller and Bronson, even some, you say, well, I may not be explaining it the right way, but all I know is they can't be Catholic because they don't have the Catholic faith. They don't profess it. They don't believe in it. They don't belong. That's all I know. But you want to explain it the right way, and they did. I think Bronson had it. Mueller said, well, first of all, they're in schism, okay? So that's the first thing. They made some statements that weren't 100%, but they were correct about that. There's, first of all, they're in schism. And then you would say, I don't care how invincibly ignorant he is of the Catholic faith. Invincible ignorance cannot save you.
Right.
The Catholic faith saves you. If you don't have it, that's it. You can't be saved. I'm sorry. That's enough to say that even. But the Diamond Brothers know. You read. I bet you they changed their position a little bit and modified it. Because of what I don't listen to their stuff anymore. You know, because it's not worth wasting my time. Go ahead.
Brother Augustine says, the point of the current article is to show their dishonesty.
Yeah, I agree.
In their article, they are trying to frame Brother Richard for claiming that the dogma of loss of office is a basic dogma. They are attacking a straw man and deceiving their readers.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay to do a short article like he did the last one and refer them because you're bringing it back to their mind. So it's good to do that. Well, here's another thing. If you guys are going to be teachers and you are called to be teachers and priests and bishops, you're going to have to be able to know that. And you're going to have to be able to, so it's a good exercise to write about it and to do your own little refutation. All I'm saying is just make sure you read my stuff first.
Yeah.
Because don't do it backwards, you know. Don't try to refute until you first read the argument. And you get, now, for the most part, Augustine does have all these things correct, but not all the time. And Matthias, too. And you got to read this stuff so you can get the whole picture. That's why I'm here to help you, too, when you're still defending the dogma, but maybe you made a mistake here or there and not defending it the right way. But if you want to defend it the right way, you need, that was an example I just gave you now. If I came out and said, well, Librini says everybody in the Vatican II Church, infants included, is not Catholic, they're out of the church and all that. Well, that's not true because they're all formal heretics. That's not what I said. What I said is they're schismatics because they adhere to a non-Catholic church. You got to bring that in. So, no, I know. They can be formal heretics later on. That's another issue. And if you're an adult, even you can fall out. I said, but their first, the infant, he's out for schism. Why is he out for schism? He belongs to a Catholic church. No, he doesn't. That's the point. That's the whole point. Look at the local Catholic church he belongs to and what their catechism teaches and what else they're teaching the kids. And once that new catechism came out, which is full of heresies, and they're teaching it in all those churches, those are not Catholic churches. It's no different than if you went to a Lutheran church and they're giving you the Lutheran catechism or the Anglican catechism. It's no different. It's not a Catholic church, even though they think it is. Anglicans think they have the Catholic Church. Lutherans think they're Catholics. I don't care what you think you are. And I got a whole article on how does the Catholic Church become a non-Catholic church. You got to read that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Would there be a...
Go ahead.
Would there be a precedent in understanding this with Joshua and the Canaanites? You know how God wanted them to destroy men, women, and children?
Yeah, don't even give them a chance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't believe in the one true God.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it has to do with infant idolization and humanism.
Oh, yeah.
They idolize humans. They don't want to kill people. They don't think God banishes people, condemns people, even on islands like the pagan.
Yeah.
Canaanite was like the pagan on the island. Don't even try to convert them. Go on here and kill them. When I was talking about something just before.
How church becomes a non-Catholic church.
That. Okay. Good. Here's an extreme example I'm going to give you. All right? A local Catholic church begins to teach that Jesus is not God. He was just a man. And there's no such things as devils. And they're teaching it. It's in their catechism. That's an extreme example, right? That's an Arian church. I don't care what it calls itself. And then what they would tell you is, well, they're invisible because no one really told them what the truth is. Well, it doesn't matter if they're invisible. That's not a Catholic church. Because let's isolate that church and then it sprouts another church. Sprouts another church, and they're all teaching Jesus isn't God, but they all believe they're the true Catholic Church. Because if you say it's the Catholic Church, then you can teach anything you want in that church and still be Catholic. Jesus isn't God. Mary wasn't an ever virgin. Let's go on and on and on. How could you call that a Catholic Church? That's the point. And once that church is no longer Catholic, everybody that hears belongs to that church is out.
Is it for you with the ropes on the ark?
Yes, they pulled that shit on me in school when I got, My catechism, both of catechism had heresy in it, so I knew that my church was not Catholic, besides the Santa Claus thing. We always use the Santa Claus test. But the Baltimore Catechism, this hit me like a brick in my face. I'll just tell you how common sense, right? One page, there's no salvation outside the Catholic Church, and we were proud of it as Catholics. You know the book, hey, Father, ain't it true that only Catholics can be saved? And I loved it. Then they turn to the next page. However, some non-Catholics can be saved by an implicit desire, an implicit connection to the church. It's like Noah's Ark when he had the Ark. There were like ropes hanging over the Ark, and there were lifeboats on it. And the ropes were pulling lifeboats, and I went, there was no lifeboats, you know, on the Ark. I mean, there was no ropes over the Ark. I mean, there was no lifeboats. Okay, I mean, did you read the Noah thing? And I said, this is not right. No. I said, something's not adding up. It's like St. Paul says, our teaching to you was not it is and it is not. Yeah. This is it is. One page, only Catholics can be saved. It's a second page, you don't need to be Catholic to be saved. You can belong to some implicit desire. Then he used a stupid example of light boats hanging on the Ark, which I knew wasn't true. If I had to tell you any moment that really, that was the Blob God thing too, that killed my faith. It really did. I'm serious. I seen it. I said, this is contradiction. You're lying to me. And the nun never gave me a right answer. See? But what I'm saying about what the Diamond Brothers are saying, and about these, it's common, it's the basic thought. I don't care. The Indian on the island, implicit faith, while he's worshiping a false god, doesn't even know about Jesus Christ, never heard of the Catholic Church. Oh yeah, he can have an implicit faith if he worships according to his conscience. He can be an implicit Christian and not even know it. Come on. That's like cuckoo, 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 you're gonna be cuckoo.
What's the guy from New York? That's the famous one, the Follow Your Own Conscience.
Father John Perricone. Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up. Genius, scholastic, and really a genius. Him and Father Rutler were in the same 143rd Street, St. Agnes Church. Monsignor Clark was the Monsignor. And Father John Perricone and George Rittner, he was on E.W. Tenola. Geniuses. And he boasted. He says, we got 10 geniuses in St. Agnes in New York. He boasted about his genius. He was an idiot. Well, the people that were going to his church who held the salvation dogma came to me one day and he said, Richard, this is what he wrote in the newsletter, Father Perricone. He said, an Aztec who never heard, he's an Aztec, never heard of their true faith, when he offers up his sacrifice to his false god, he can be saved because he's following his own conscience to the best of his ability, and he could be an implicit Christian and be saved. Well, they went nuts. I went nuts. I went, go back and tell him this is heresy, you can't be saved, you need to have the Catholic Church, he needs to believe in the Catholic faith, he needs to believe in Jesus Christ, he worshiping a false god. You tell me. So I gave them all the arguments. Then they came back the next week or 2 weeks later, and they said, no, Richard, he didn't listen. You know what he said? As a matter of fact, if that pagan Aztec priest didn't offer up the human sacrifice to his false god, he'll go to hell because he wasn't following his own conscience according to his own false religion. Now, is there something crazy with that, or am I, you know what I mean? Right? I'm telling you, this guy was a genius scholastic. Genius. Like a Rain Man type of brain, like a Alphonse. This is a genius teaching this. He also believes you can't murder anybody, kill anybody. I knocked his ass dead. There was a whole bunch of people present. So you're not allowed to kill anybody. I said, what about Abraham? God wanted him to kill Isaac. And he got all red in the face. And he changed the topic real quick. I says, what about Isaac? Does this guy read the Bible?
Yeah.
These are genius guys. Look him up. Father John Perricone. And he was in there with Father George Rutler. And he was smart. I thought he was my hero, too. Until when? So he fastly became my unhero. At that point, when these people told me that, I already knew he was bad. But, you know, okay? You know, the Diamond Brothers believe, they don't believe about the pagan, but they believe if you're baptized. Validly baptized into a Protestant sect, Vatican, and you're a Catholic as an infant, and you don't lose your Catholic faith until you achieve the use of reason and somebody teaches you about the true Catholic faith, a dogma, and you deny it or reject it. That's what a guy I'm telling you about, that he is a Lutheran. He says, you mean to tell me I was a Lutheran until I was 20 years old because I never heard about the Catholic faith? believing in all the Lutheran heresies, belonging to a Lutheran church, not believing in the papacy, not even knowing about it? Is this insanity? That's what I tell you. The diamonds deny the salvation dogma. They idolize infants, too. Oh, idolize infants. They call me like, they call St. Augustine a baby torturer. Because he's dead unbaptized infants are in hell and they're burning. Even the baptized ones, they're burning in hell. Hellfire. Burning in hellfire. So, baby torture is what they call me, the diamonds. So I quoted all those verses. I'm going to dash your children against the rock. Yeah. God killed the firstborn of the Egyptian, a whole bunch of infants. How many scripture verses? Were Joshua and Moses killed infants? Yeah. Infants.
Yeah.
Only wanted the Canaanites, as you just mentioned. Included everyone. He told Saul to go kill men, women, infants, children, kill every human being. Yeah. An infant in the eyes of God is no different than an adult. God knows what the infant is before he created the whole world. He knows what that infant's going to do. If he lets him achieve the use of reason, he gets old enough. God knows, and he says he's a rotten bastard. God looked at Judas Iscariot before he created anything and knew about him. And then when he was created, God looked at him as an infant and said, he's a rotten bastard. He's going to betray me. You and I, like the diamonds, oh, little Judas, cute, nice, little innocent guy. I said, well, look at babies. No baby's innocent. You're walking in Walmart, you have a woman holding a little baby, and he looks a little cute. He can have 20,000 devils in there. And the baby himself coming after you. I'm still nice to people. I love people. But I don't idolize them. Diamonds idolize infants. I went over that too in my, I think it's in the Baptized Not Catholic thing about the idolization of infants causes many people to fall into hers. How could God send a poor baby to hell? That was one of your big things.
You got the pictures, but get all the pictures of the baby or the kids. That's in that book.
Oh, yeah.
All,
yeah.
They all have in common. They're yeah. I'm down the road to hell. Like,
see, Will reads the book. See him. He's ready to go. All the brothers here, even his sisters. And sisters should read the books too. I'm not just talking to God because you may have private conversations. You don't have to, I'm not telling everybody you have to get so deep if you're not called to do. Some people aren't called to go that deep. I don't want to scare some people. I'm not telling everybody you need to read that deep. We can make it easier for you. But if you want it, you could. You know what I mean? And some women have a gift where they want to read that, and they can help teaching other people. Like a woman could teach in private and teach kids in catechism.
Right.
But my point on this is the age we grew up in, we just go to things and we don't read instruction manuals. We try to figure it out without reading the rules. And most times you get yourself in trouble, you'll find that if I read the rule, it'll be a lot easier. Now, I do that too when it comes to a lot of stuff because I can't read all the rules on the Word 2000 is like, or how to do the video studio. It's like 50,000 rules. But when it comes to the faith, don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that. You read my stuff first so you're thoroughly acquainted with, and they're doing it. Mateus and God, they are reading. He's acquainted with a lot of the stuff. But you got to read it all. And I'm here to help you if you do make like a mistake and redirect you as to where you need to read.
Yeah.
So because when you're asking, when you're putting these things up, it's like I got to reinvent the wheel. It's almost like I was ready to rewrite my whole book on it, my response here about what I'm saying. That's what I'm telling you. You got to go read my book. It's in there. And then you'll be able to give the right answer. So, yes, it's still good to refute the diamonds with these short little briefs. I'm not against that. But it's not. It's still, even that's not like on the top of my list.
Yeah.
There's a lot of other good works that can be done. But you still need to do that. Like Augustine with the Muslims, and that's going to be good. The Arians. All those quotes are good. They're dynamo. And that's good. But the diamonds, too. But I guess what I'm saying, too, on all that, you got to make sure you're reading this deeper stuff. Deeper. And he is. He's reading them. And now I'm directing him to this. Like I think Mateo said, he read the Baptized Infants book, but he didn't read The Diamonds Deny the Salvation Dogma. That's a big one, because that's where I get into all their arguments.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
You know? And so... And like I said, a lot of us are going to be called to be priests and bishops, and then we're going to be leaders in the church. And then if there's any question, if you learn the right way, it doesn't have to all come to me. I could just say, take care of it. And I have total confidence you're going to take care of it. But if something does happen, you can still come to me, but it will lessen the amount of time that I got to take up doing this.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? I'm preparing you guys, because when we start getting a lot of people, and here we are, let's say 10,000, 20,000 people on the Discord. We're going to have to break it up in different channels. Each one of you guys is going to have to supervise it, like somebody's going to have to supervise it, and they got to sort of know a lot of stuff. And you can still refer to me Remember he said about Moses, you know, break up the people. The real complicates to refer to Moses, but the rest you guys handle. So I'm preparing you guys what you need to do. And some of the women, if they're called to study this stuff, they can do it, but they don't have to. But they can. They hear a lot of my lectures, so they know a lot of stuff. But basically what I just told you right now, it's really simple now. But you want to get the evidences that I'm talking about, you got to read the stuff. Like I'm saying, basically, a Lutheran baby is baptized into a Lutheran church with his Lutheran parents. What is that baby?
Lutheran.
A Catholic state of diamonds. Of course, Lutheran. Right?
Of course. Hey.
Now, question is why? Okay, why? A little deeper. Because they're in schism from the true church. They're in schism. They're separated from a true Catholic church. That's number one reason why.
I grew up a Lutheran, and this proves your point. Why would I start looking into the Catholic Church, knowing that I'm not a Catholic, and, you know, and wanting to be Catholic?
Sister Laura was a Lutheran. We forgive her. And I was worse probably than her. She just, I'm going to pump that up again. But she just said she was a Lutheran her whole life until she started, something inside her started having her look into the Catholic Church. Right? And then God, she found it. And think about it. When Sister Laura was starting to look at, they went to the Novus Ordo. So she wasn't really in the Catholic Church yet. But she was looking. So that was their first step. And then they went through the whole gamut. They'll tell you their whole story one day, if they have time. But it was interesting. It is. I mean, you probably should. I mean, then he went to the SSP-10, then he went to Father, Sidney Vicon came later. And then when we met and all that. So, anyway, how come she's here is talking to me right now? Because she's here. See, she's right there. Okay, I don't want to put her on the camera and embarrass her, but here she is. Right? Why is she here? What happened to all the other Lutherans in the world?
I could have just stayed a Lutheran.
Yeah, really. Is that not the basis of... What did I write today? Unless God draws them to me, no one can come to me. All whom the Father has given me will come to me. John 6:37 and John 6:44.
And I wasn't the first one to tell her about the Catholic faith. She was impressed by a kid down the street when she was younger.
Yeah.
And also she had a boyfriend before I was her boyfriend that tried to talk to her about the Catholic faith. But she went looking for it herself.
Right.
That was
we talk about too. How many people, someone of the brothers said on the site today, how many people have learned the Catholic faith and reject it? They don't even want it. So you're presuming all these pagan, they're all going to be good, right? Almost everybody doesn't listen even when they're taught. But that's besides the point.
Yeah.
Invincible ignorance cannot give you what you need to be saved if you're invincibly ignorant of the Catholic Church and the faith. It can't give it to you. St. Paul says in Romans 10:17, faith cometh by hearing, and by hearing the word of God, the true Catholic faith. And they don't have it. That's just it. Now, maybe you can't explain why they're out, schism, hurry, whatever. Now, all these other people, too, when you achieve the use of reason, now this is true, too, you're embracing a false god and a false religion. Well, you're an idolater or a heretic. Now, on that, if you're baptized, you'd be a heretic. If you're an idolater, you're an idolater. Everybody that belongs to a false church and a false religion is guilty of sins against the faith. Because every false religion, every false god, even atheism, has knowable falsehoods, obvious, that you can reject by God's grace, and he wants you to reject them and get away from the lie. The fact that you're still in there makes you guilty as an idolater, apostate, or a heretic if it's baptized into a non-Catholic nominal Christian sect like an Anglican or a Lutheran. It's as easy as that. No, when you have the use of reason.
Then
they can become. Before they're schismatics.
Right.
Yeah. They're schismatics as an infant.
Right.
Yeah, that's adult. Right. Now I got the use of reason and I'm giving my consent to this, now you're done. You're done. Because there's obvious falsehoods in there. When you get old enough to know that 2 + 2 = 4, whenever that happens, and somebody says it's 5. But as an infant, Lutheran infant, you're a schismatic. That's why you're out. That's dogma. I believe he's a heretic too because he inherits his parents. And not inherit, there's a word I use. He gets his faith from his parents. Just like a Catholic infant. Yeah. So my opinion is even the infant, but you don't have to say that one. Just the infant is a schismatic because he adheres to a non-Catholic church. That's all. When he attains the use of reason and he starts, he doesn't reject noble falsehoods, then he becomes an idolater if he's not baptized, or he becomes a formal heretic. And that Augustine would agree with that too. You know, then he would become a formal heretic. I'm just something in his own religion. But one thing is true, which is the dogma, is the first sin that puts them out is schism. So the whole argument about obstinacy and heresy and all that, well, that matters, yeah. But we're not talking. If you're outside the church, even if you're invincibly ignorant of faith, and they would teach you, you're not guilty of what they call a sin of infidelity, of learning about the faith of denying. You just don't know it at all. So if you don't know, there's no way you can be saved. Everything you're doing in your life, every sin can never be remitted. You can never be saved unless somebody teaches that faith to you. So you're in your original sin. You're guilty of mortal sins when you achieve the use of reason. And if you're baptized into an Anglican church, these kids, you're schismatics. They don't get the graces. We grew up believing, and that's what they taught us in our catechism too, that all baptisms, if they're valid in the Protestant churches, all those infants are Catholics. We were taught that in the Baltimore Catechism. That's a little deeper. Maybe you can get off the hook on that one a little bit, maybe, but logically, if you start thinking about it, it gets pretty bad. So you mean to tell me that and this is what the Diamonds believe, and they're going by the mind of the Baltimore Catechism, which denies the salvation dogma that they themselves profess to believe in. You want to talk about their hypocrisy? Their idol, Alphonse de Liguori, that bastard?
Okay.
He held the salvation dogma, but not as a dogma. He held it as an allowable opinion. He believed the opposite opinion is also probable. He believed you could be saved without even knowing about Christ. He believed a Jew who's practicing Talmudic Judaism and hates Christ can be an implicit Christian. Lugo taught that, and he said, Lugo taught that a Jew, if he lives according to his conscience and he's following natural law, he could be saved in his false religion, even though he can be an implicit Christian. Now, Lugo, this is Alphonse saying, Lugo believed that, and others believe that, because all the names will believe it, and he goes, well, this is a probable opinion, it's not the one I hold. This is a probable opinion, according to Alphonse? Yes. And I told the Diamond Bros, well, Alphonse is a heretic. If he says this is a viable opinion, then the salvation dogma is not a dogma, it's only an opinion. And they said, oh, well, all the he made a mistake. Something like he made a mistake. Yeah, what kind of a mistake? Yeah. You know, the word error, what kind of an error? Is he a heretic or not?
Yeah.
The stinkweed denies the dogma to him. And then you see, because of their pride, because they don't admit they're wrong, that led them, I think, into what we're saying here about the Lutheran, the baby, that led them into this.
Exactly.
But they didn't believe that. But the Diamond Brothers don't believe that you could be saved. They don't believe that. So they'll even say that's heresy because he's not baptized. He's a Jew. He's a Talmudic Jew. He's not baptized. They only believe. But that led them into the heresy with the baptized. So they picked up their own version of the where baptized people could be saved, who are outside the Catholic Church, even when they have the use of reason. That led them into that version of the heresy. But they would say, they say, oh no, the Jew is not baptized and he's a Christ denier, he can't be saved. Well, Alphonse said it's a viable opinion that he could be an implicit Christian. Padre Pio said that. So what do you say about that, Diamond Brothers? What do you say?
They're
liars. See, I'm not so concerned about, you present some stuff to them and let's not think like I got to defend my honor to them till kingdom come. Go ahead.
What was the Stephen St. Cyprian argument? When Stephen said, did he try to say that they could be valid and legit?
Good one. Yes, you think he's working all the time and he don't study? He reads it once and he remembers it. That's it. He only got to read it once and it's in here. Yeah, he's right. In the time of St. Cyprian, this is a similar thing. And this gets into ordinations, and I don't want to get into that later, but validity of baptism. Anyway, St. Cyprian, back then there was a split of opinion, right? And it was an allowable opinion one way or the other. I would have taken Cyprian's side, and I would have been wrong. Cyprian and his church in Africa believe that all the baptisms that are outside the Catholic Church, such as an Arian church or the Donatist church, they are all invalid. They're not even valid. So they would rebaptize these people that were baptized in the Arian church into the Catholic church. Now, the church in Rome said, no, those baptisms are valid, but they're not legal. They didn't get the whole, just how it goes on. So we don't have to rebaptize them. We just lay hands upon them and they come in. There's a big fight. I would have been on Cyprian's side because he's going, how could God give grace outside the church? How could these be valid? So this created a big stink and there's big arguments. Now Stephen, Pope Stephen, who's an anti-pope because of this, Cyprian's already upset thinking about how could, then Stephen says, as long as these infants and these baptisms are valid, he says they get all the fruits of the baptism, all the fruits. Now they're getting their sins remitted. That Cyprian went nuts. And he rightly so. That's heresy. Yeah. And who's the other guy that he knew? Fortunatus or his other buddy?
Yeah.
Firmilianus. He was a heretic, but he was right about this, Firmilianus. But they went, look at this Stephen. He's saying not only are these baptisms valid, but they're getting the fruit of the gift. They're getting remission of sins. They're getting like the remission of all their sins, punishment due to sins, and membership in the church when they're in a fault, being baptized into a fault. But Sir Stephen saying they get the fruits. Well, they went nuts. This guy's no pope.
Yeah.
No pope can teach that. He said, this is heresy. I'm sorry. Scandalized Cyprian, made him more solid in his own opinion, which they're not even valid. And the next pope, which was Cornelius, he understood how deep this was. Now, what happened was Stephen was going to get ready to excommunicate Cyprian. Cyprian says, I'm not going to listen to you. You're a heretic. You can't be the pope. And he goes, I'm going to excommunicate Cyprian. So right when he was getting ready to do it, God killed Stephen. He died. Now, all the record of this we have is from Cyprian's letters and Firmilianus' letters. We don't got any of his letters surviving. That's what they say. They're not surviving. So what happened? They're trying to cover Stephen's ass. That's what I believe. They don't want him to be exposed to how bad he was. So he scandalizes Cyprian by saying, oh, not only are they valid, but they get the fruit of baptism. And then Cyprian wrote a beautiful thing. He says, the church is a garden enclosed. All the graces are sanctifying graces are within the church. There's no remission of sins outside the church. There's no sanctifying grace. How could these people that are impure, that are outside of the church, deny our pope, deny our faith, how could they give grace, and how could they give sanctifying grace and make a baptism fruitful? And that's what Stephen was saying. And Cyprian said, no, no. And just before he was ready to excommunicate Cyprian, God killed him. Cornelius comes in. And Cornelius understood, the Pope St. Cornelius, he understood the whole thing. He said, this is complicated. You scandalize Cyprian because no fruit's given. However, we got to sit down and come up with the theology. Then they sat down, studying, and went, okay, here's what happens. Okay? They get the indelible mark. The baptisms are valid, but they get no fruit. They get no grace. They get no membership in the church. They get no sanctifying grace. They don't get their sins remitted. And they don't get the punishment due to sins remitted. Ah! Okay, all they get is the indelible mark. And so when they come into the church for the first time, we don't baptize them again because they were validly baptized. We lay our hands upon them when they abjure. That's when all the grace comes. And read it. Then right after that, it was defined. And then that dispute was settled. And you see, but the common sense thing, what Stephen said was just horrible.
Yeah.
Horrible. And he made it more difficult for the Cyprian people maybe to listen because they're going, well, look at this guy. Yeah? Till today, you've got a lot of people who refuse to believe that the sacraments outside, like ordinations, I'm going to get into that later too. That's something else. I mean, they're valid outside the church, but they're not legal. I would have been in Cyprian's camp and I would have been wrong. And if I lived long enough and Pope defined it, I'd have to believe it. Because when the definitions came out, which at least satisfied Cyprian somewhat. No, they're valid, but they're illegal. They don't get any grace. They don't get no fruits. None.
Right.
Preserves the dogma that there's no remission of sins outside the Catholic Church. Only the Catholic Church, within her, do you get sanctifying grace. It doesn't exist outside the Catholic Church. So it preserved it, you see? How complicated this stuff gets. There's another story if you're studying that one, which
now,
I go over.
Now, Stephen was wrong.
Yeah.
And Cyprian was correct.
Absolutely. Well, he was half correct. Cyprian was wrong because it was valid. Cyprian was right, though, because no graces were given. Stephen believed it was valid and it was given graces. Stephen was heretically wrong.
Yeah.
Cyprian just was an error.
Okay.
Cyprian just held an allowable opinion he was wrong on. Wasn't defined yet. Cyprian believed it was not valid. Go ahead.
Sorry, Richard, you're not going to believe this. Right, so earlier I said I listened to a lecture in 2021. You were talking about loving God's creation, enjoying God's creation. Then you talk about formal schism, formal heresy versus schism with these infants. And now you're talking about St. Cyprian, also mentioned in that lecture, where you're talking about how you would have followed him, but then you learned about the dogma afterwards.
That's amazing.
All in the same lecture. I listened to that just last night. Whoa! I have to post that now.
Well, you know what? That's God's confirmed how important this lecture is. Yeah. To go and repeat it again.
Exactly. So yeah, I heard it before.
Yeah, but basically we're saying with Cyprian, his error was not heretical. He believed that baptisms outside the church weren't even valid. They're no good. They're nothing. So he would rebaptize them when he came in. The dogma turned out to be that they're valid, but they're illegal. He believed they weren't even valid. But in his day, it wasn't defined yet. His church believed they weren't valid. The churches in Rome believed they were. Allowable opinion, all Catholic, and they would even say, let's not start condemning one another as non-Catholics. We're all Catholic here. We just disagree on an allowable opinion, and we need a pope to settle it.
Yeah.
And until the pope settles it, we have the Easter date. Same thing about when did you... Let's civilly argue about this. Don't call anybody a heretic. It's an allowable opinion on both sides. Wait till the pope defines it. Yeah. And in his day, the pope hasn't defined it yet. So Cyprian's holding the allowable opinion that these baptisms are nothing. They're not even valid. That was just an error over an allowable opinion. Stephen comes along and says, they're not only valid, but they bestow grace and they give sanctifying grace to the heretics in the heretical churches. That's heresy.
Yeah.
So Stephen held a heretical error.
Yeah.
Cyprian, a non-heretical error. Here's the difference.
And when God stepped in and killed Stephen.
And then God stepped in and killed Stephen.
Before the
excommunication down him. Familianus and Cyprian. He was ready to excommunicate them. And God killed them. So he wouldn't do it. So then Cornelius came along, and they were trying to get Cornelius to take one side or the other. He says, back off. This is a heated issue. It's complicated. Let us sit back and decide it. And that's when he finally came up with the true theology. That, yes, they're valid, but they're not legal. Not legal, they knew that, because that's a dogma. They can't be legal. So the question was, how could those baptisms be good when they don't give any grace? Well, they give the indelible mark, and that's all they get, because they were baptized with the proper words. Now, there's a deeper thing behind why that's very important when it comes to ordinations, too. It goes up secret intent of people. It gets even deeper than that. You're going to see the wisdom of the church if you read all this stuff. I talk about ordinations. Some people say, like, a non-Catholic priest cannot validly ordain a schismatic or a non-Catholic Russian Orthodox, or okay, because they don't have the faith, or they're schismatics, and because they're not Catholic, therefore, that bishop cannot validly ordain. There was a big fight over that, too. And I think, this is a long story, but I'm going to tell you the reasonability behind the Catholic Church. If that's true, what happens if we have a Catholic bishop who's a secret Arian heretic? In his heart, he believes Jesus isn't God, but he doesn't tell nobody. Everyone thinks he's a Catholic bishop, but he's not. He's ordaining all these priests, then he's ordaining bishops. If it's true that those ordinations are all invalid, then every bishop and priest that he makes is not a bishop nor a priest. Then the bishop he makes goes out, makes other bishops and priests, they're not bishops and priests, and they make more, they're not bishops and priests. You've got massive lines of bishops and priests that are not bishops and priests, and you have no way of knowing, because it started from a Catholic, so-called Catholic bishop who had a secret heresy in his heart.
You know what I'm thinking? Huh? The guy from Oklahoma, Father, who's the one you visited in Oklahoma?
Martinez.
Martinez, yeah. No, he thought, he didn't remember it, did he say?
Yes, that was the intention, that was crazier. Yeah, he's good. I don't know. What can I say? I don't want to flatter him, but he got another thing. That's the intention. That's the
internal.
This is another thing.
Internal.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And see, exactly. And it relates to that.
Yeah, it does.
This is the second part. So think about that. That's what I'm telling you. How could it be valid? Well, that preserves the orders, even though this guy's a secret heretic. God didn't punish the people under him. In this case, if they would, it would be legal too. God would supply the legality of it.
Yeah.
But he supplies that. Because for people, and so that's why the teaching is, they're valid, but if it's outside the Catholic Church, like in a schismatic church, it's valid, but not even legal at all. But it's valid. The internal intention companion. This is even crazier. And you got to read my thing, the minister's sacramental intention. You got to read that book. You want to have your hair go up? You want to look, say, this is insanity? And you're almost going to say, I cannot even believe that people believe this. I cannot even believe that these scholastic bastards brought this thing in here. The interior intention heresy began in the 16th century. Well, what they were teaching is, for the minister to confect a sacrament, he has to interiorly in his heart intend to confect it, or it doesn't get confected. So even if he uses the proper words, the proper form, and in his heart he doesn't want to baptize you, you're not baptized. Even though, let's say he's a Catholic priest even. He's a nasty bastard. He denies baptism, whatever his reason is. But he says, I really don't want to baptize this guy, in his heart. So he's baptizing all these babies, but in his heart he says, I really don't want to baptize. They're not baptized.
Yeah.
Now, if that guy never tells you, you have no way of knowing. And then the priest, they would say it with the Holy Eucharist too. If he doesn't intend to confect, it's not confected. Yeah. If the bishop doesn't intend in his heart to make the priest, in his heart, to make a bishop, then the bishop's not a bishop. They use that as the intention. Form, matter, intention. So the argument was, what does it mean when they say the intention of the church? The intention of the church is to do as the church does. Not what you believe inside. Don't matter what you believe inside. You can be a heretic. You can deny the whole sacrament. God doesn't make it illegal or even invalid for people that's receiving it. It's for their benefit. It doesn't matter what you believe in your heart. Even a pagan can baptize who doesn't believe in baptism. We use that one too. Go ahead.
Then they do that with Lefebvre, that Maynard, because he's
yeah.
Mason. Oh, he
yeah.
really intended
all his... Here's what this heresy comes down to. And this is what Father John Martinez told me. No priest could ever know he's a priest for sure. No bishop could know he's a bishop for sure. And no one can know he's baptized for sure, ever. It's what they... You think I'm joking. Read the book. That's how crazy they are. That's what they believe. Read my book, The Minister's Sacramental Intention. Because I'm a non-Catholic. I don't believe in the Holy Eucharist anymore. I don't believe in baptism. Or you're a Freemason. You infiltrated, right? But you got ordained yourself, and you're trying to ordain. And in your heart, you don't want to make the ordination. So that means in my heart, how could you read someone's heart? You can't. So, if a bishop lays his hands in a Catholic bishop, he's making another bishop, and he says in his heart, I don't intend to make a bishop, but he uses all the form, all the matter, you're not a bishop, or you're not a priest, and you're never going to know it, unless he tells you, guess what, when I ordained you, in my heart, I said, I don't want to ordain you. I said, how can anybody read hearts? This is a cruel God. That means one bastard can come into the church as a bishop, a real bishop, valid. He can invalidate whole lines of bishops and priests. And then everybody they would do is all invalid, let alone baptisms even.
How did they get away with baptisms? Because they were paying for baptism.
That's what I said. Some of them might agree that, but they don't. I used the baptism first and foremost.
Right, right.
I said if a pagan can baptize, he doesn't even have faith in baptism. So how can he intend to baptize? They'd say something, he has to intend to baptize even though he doesn't believe. Some horse shit like, I never even heard their excuse for that one. I didn't. I got to look it up deeper on that one.
Yeah.
If a pagan can baptize, even though he doesn't believe in baptism validly, then how come you guys can't? But the consequences of that particular, it's a heresy, by the way.
Yeah.
None of the church fathers ever taught it. The intention of the church is you have to exteriorly intend to do what the church does. So that if you've done everything that you intend to do what the church does by following the proper form and the proper matter, and you can see that. Everybody can see it. If he followed it, I poured the water, I said the words, it's done. It doesn't matter what's in here. According to the interior attention opinion, he can do all that and tend in his heart not to do it, and you're not baptized. So I call that he has to exteriorly intend to do what the church does. He can interiorly not want it. He says, I don't want to baptize. It doesn't matter. Your exterior intention is what matters. Yeah. How do we prove it? Because he did it. Yeah. We saw it. We watched him. The form and the matter. He followed it. I seen it. I seen him when he ordained the bishop. He laid the hands on and all this, did the proper stuff, it's done. No matter what he believes in his heart.
This is why you're a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek.
Well, once you are a priest, that's another issue.
Yeah.
yeah, you'll never fall out again. Yes, but yes. But the question here is, can a bishop ordain another priest or a bishop if he doesn't intend to? That's another issue.
Confer the sacrament.
Yeah, they're saying he doesn't even make the bishop or priest. He doesn't even make them. So, like, if I'm a bishop and right. I'm going to make you a priest, right. and I follow all the rules and I lay my hands on you, and everyone, I did everything right, form and matter, but I don't want, I go like this, I don't want to make you a priest. You walk out of there, you're not even a priest. And you never were. That's what they teach. And you're never going to know you're not a priest because I ain't going to tell you what I was thinking in my heart.
Right.
Other people saw what I did. So the proper intention is to do as the church does, which is the proper form and matter.
The matter intention confects the sacrament.
Yeah.
As long as you externally say the proper form and matter, then it's
And that proves your exterior intention.
Do you have a timeline on when that came about, this interior intention?
Yeah, I got to reread my book, too, because it's interesting. I think it came in with the Scholastics.
Okay.
Again!
That makes sense.
No, it does. No, it's crazy. Oh.
They don't think it through.
No, like, no. But you know, the end result is what Father Martinez told me. He told me, I don't even know if I'm a priest. And no one does. And no one really knows if they're baptized. No one does. I said, then no one even knows if the guy's a pope. Because a pope needs to be a bishop.
Right.
See how it works? How stupid these...
Richard, yeah. Doesn't that sound like an infiltrator Jew trying to get the dogmas changed so they can have that, they're not even a bishop,
Right.
Extinguish the church.
They want you to doubt your own validity of the sacraments you're receiving. And that's why, really, I couldn't believe it when I first heard that.
They were trying to use that as a throughout Lefebvre, right? Because Reinhardt was a Freemason.
He was a man, because then the whole line is gone.
Yeah.
But that's the thing about the ordinations, too, because if you say non-Catholics can't ordain as schismatics, you can have an Arian heretic bishop in his heart, never tells anybody. And so that means everybody that he's ordaining, if it's not even valid, is not even valid. And they all think they're Catholic. So he makes 10 priests and one bishop. That bishop goes out and makes 10 priests and one bishop, and so forth. And that whole line, they're not priests and they're not bishops. If ordinations by non-Catholics are not valid, that's why you see when you study, I love the church so much, I do. When you look at it, sometimes you look at it and you can think the other way. And you go, now I see it. Mm-hmm. I see the wisdom of our church. I see it. People that can't see it are only looking one way. They're not looking at the whole picture, and they're stubborn. Because when you show them, there's a prideful thing in them where they just want to believe. I just don't believe it. There's a pride that prevents them from studying it. Because if you look and see what the church teaches, you can even, in this case, you can reasonably understand why. Some dogmas we can't reasonably understand. This you can understand. And like the dispute over baptism, in the beginning it was allowable opinion, although it was a heresy to believe they got the grace, but then later on it had to be defined. But you see the wisdom in the church. That interior intention thing, you think I'm joking? Read my book. Yeah. All you people that are called to be teachers, you got to read that book. The minister's sacramental intention, and your head's going to spin.
Yeah.
Your head's going to spin when you read it. It's another absurdity. It's absurd. That's a cruel God. He's going to let one guy come in here because all he has to do is say in his heart, I don't want to do this, and validate mass. It's not just even baptism is bad enough. He can do that, but he can validate massive lines of bishops and priests. Because if I make you a bishop, but I don't want to do it in my heart, and that means you don't become a bishop, I never tell you that, right? You're walking out thinking you're a bishop, but you're not. Then you're going to go out and make 10 priests and a bishop, and they're not because you're not. Even though you want to do it in your heart, but your problem is you're not even a bishop.
And that could have happened 1,000 years ago.
What's left? I mean, do your math, you know? What do you call it? There's a word on that. Will you square, take it square root?
Yeah, yeah.
Do your square root thing on that and see how that works.
That's a great
It's crazy. It's impossible. God, you mean God has never given us a way to know for sure? You know that if he used the proper form of matter, the exterior intention is proven by him. I call it the exterior intention opinion. He has to exteriorly intend to do what the church does. Now, if he came out exteriorly and said, I don't want to make you a bishop, and everybody heard that, and I'm going to do it, then it's no good. He has to say it, verbalize it, so you can hear it. As a witness, yeah. As a witness, you have to hear it. You guys believe what I'm saying? I bet some of the brothers are going, I can't believe what he's saying. Any of you brothers know about this? No, maybe you didn't.
Yes.
Well, yes, that's my point. We're probably not going to do match prayers today. No. This is. Go ahead.
Yeah. You also mentioned the priestly intention in the lecture from 2001. That's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Hey, he was listening to it last night. Wow.
What? Well, the thing is, Richard, right? I'll be honest with you. You are riffing there the last half hour, and it's point by point by point, and it's like I listened to the same lecture last night. It's like you haven't missed a beat. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that's what Augustine needs to do. I think that's the message.
Yeah, yeah. To read the book. Yes, to read the information first, to be thoroughly acquainted with it. Because he has a lot of you guys here are going to be really good teachers, and some people can study more and quicker in whatever other ways. But my point is, it's good to be anxious and zealous to want to get the truth out there, but you got to read the rule book first. So what you want to do is, when I tell you to read something, read it and get thoroughly acquainted with it, and then you guys are going to be like nuclear bombs.
Yeah.
You already have the zeal. You already have the ability.
Sometimes, too, because you can read this, 10 years ago or 5 years ago, and you won't retain it in total.
That's why this lecture, God wants us done again. Remember, I wasn't going to do it again, but now it's God's will. TJ's confirming that. Remember St. Paul said, I am bringing this up again for your own benefit, even though I said it many times before. So this is again. And I'm linking a lot of things together, and I'm linking it in with all you guys that are called to be teachers and bishops and priests. You need to study this stuff. Because I know you have the ability and the zeal and the good faith to really do this, but you need to read the rule book first, so I don't got to always go out there and restate something I know you could have known if you read the book. I'll still do it to help you. I'll guide you and tell you where to go. So what I'm telling you right now from this lecture is, there's another one Brother Will brought up, the minister's sacramental intention, baptized non-Catholic infants and children, and the diamonds, the night of salvation dogma. And you may want to read bad books on salvation to get a nice little background about when it started in the 16th century and how this stuff all came in. And when you read my salvation dogma book, you're going to learn about what the Catholic Church is really teaching. These are all your weapons. So you want to make my works your primary things you're studying.
Exactly.
So that you imbibe yourself with what I already went through. And then you're going to be able to repeat it and teach it yourself and save me the time. Because I can't possibly, when 20,000, 4,000 people come in here, I'm going to need help. Right. Remember Moses? He said, Lord, they're too heavy for me. I will give you Aaron and I will give you 50. And he gave him 72 other elders. So that's when you start breaking the church up into bishops. Right. And that's what you guys are being called to do.
That's how they seen this great with Jethro when he told them when he came in.
That was great. And you see, you know what I loved about it? Because I feel like that sometimes. Moses, he's sitting down. Look at you. You're exhausted. You look like you're going to die. Is this the way you teach your brother? Is this the way your God treats your Moses? They're too heavy for me, Lord. They're too heavy. So you need help. So this lecture is to prepare you. Go ahead.
You ask more why we're here? This is exactly why we came. Because we heard the word.
Yeah.
And we believe it.
Exactly.
God gave us the faith.
Why are any of us here? Why are any of us here? Exactly.
Praise God.
Exactly. Look, you know what? Sister Mary Lou said, why are any of us here if it's not because we heard and we obeyed and we cooperated? And if that doesn't count for nothing, and the bums in our families that don't listen could be implicit Christians, then what does it matter what we did? All the good stuff we did, all the glory of God we gave, all the struggle we made, all the thing to be here. If that's the same as somebody who doesn't listen at all and is living like a slob and worships false God, there's no difference between us and them?
Yes.
There's no difference. And if there is a difference, what caused you to come here and them not to come here?
Yeah.
It's that simple. You know, the whole thing comes down to humanism. They idolize humans.
Well, why does St. Paul say, bear not the yoke with unbelievers? I mean, he tells you right there.
Except unbelievers. So now you've got these people, Lutherans, according to Diamond, they're all believers, even though they don't even know. First of all, how can you be a believer in something you don't even know? How could you believe in something that was never taught to you? ABC, it has to do with predestination too. This whole thing is idolization of human beings. They don't get into their head that the bulk mass of humans are going to hell. Infants, adults, everybody. What was my memorization verse today? If Noah, Daniel, and Job, pray for their sons and daughters, none of them will be saved except for them because of their justice. It comes out to that.
Ecclesiastes 4:4.
Oh, yeah, it's in the clear.
And I had one of them, only a few, just to the olives on the top of the trees.
Yeah. Isaiah 17, I think. Yeah. Like the shaking the olive tree it's like the two grapes, olive tree and grapes, I think. It was olives and grapes. It was a tree and a bough.
Yeah.
A tree and a bough. Two or three berries on the top of the tree, four other berries on the bough. But now you guys are understanding that you have to spend time, reading the scriptures, but my works, so you guys can become honed in. I did all the hard lifting and the hard work. These brothers have been around. They know it. They've been listening. And now you guys have to do it so you can be perfected. The zeal is good. It's good. I'm glad you want to go out there and refute these people, but you want to polish it up. And then if I know, let me give you an example. If you didn't read my books and you keep asking me questions that are in the book, then eventually I'm not going to answer you no more, and that's bad will. But if you read the book and you still have problems, I'll answer. I don't mind answering questions.
That comes under the heading that the church isn't just the Bible, it's tradition. That's what we have that they don't.
Absolutely.
That the rest of the world ignores.
As we say many times, like Will said, the Bible would just fall out of heaven, like King James, like he's walking around
the
King James.
King James
said that to somebody recently.
Oh, yeah, he did. Rebecca. Oh, he got what great testimonies.
It's so ridiculous.
You hit every base. I can't even imagine your testimonies there. You hit every base. Believe me, people heard you. That's going to be down to your good in the end. I know it. Of course, it's going to expose these bums that don't want to listen.
I know.
So you see how important it is. Like Augustine read the basic. He's reading a lot of stuff. But I got a lot of stuff out there. And sometimes you don't realize, I'm not against, like you don't, maybe I wrote about it and you don't know where I wrote about it. So I'll tell you where I wrote about it.
Yeah.
And then after you're ready, if you have any questions, I don't mind answering questions. But you guys are going to have to start answering questions yourself on these deep issues. So I can't be the only one. When more people come in here, and then you're going to be teaching other people, and they're going to be teaching other people, and it goes on like that. So we're starting, this is like the apostles and the disciples.
Yeah.
So let that, so you guys go out. And you don't want to be confusing people. If you come out and you put the wrong answer out there, then I got to go out and explain it, and I'm taking up all my time. So sometimes, my point too is, if you're not sure about something, DM me. Don't put it on the site. Send it to me on a DM, and I'll check it. Most of the stuff is good you put on. You know, I don't have to check it. Quote the church fathers, all good stuff. Muslims and stuff, Arians about. But this issue was kind of deep. So about we're talking about now, about the diamond bullets and how come they're out and non-Catholic churches. If you're not sure, DM me first so I can review it before we put it on the site. Because once it's on the site, then I got to go out there, and if it's something wrong with it, let everybody know it's not correct. But you can still make mistakes on the site. Catch it, but I'm trying to limit it. So any questions? We're not going to do no mass prayers today. I think this is one you forgot with the people. This is more important, what we just spoke about.
Yeah, definitely.
But and maybe I spoke about it today with a little more passion, or at least with connecting with your thing with, the broader issues. Like you're talking about the interior intention. That is true. I wrote that on the ordination. See, these stupid people don't want to listen. I told him the common sense example, and he still doesn't like it. Don't you understand what I'm saying here? That if these ordinations are invalid and a secret Arian heretic in his heart, who you think he's Catholic, you think that God's going to validate all, that's what you believe in. There's a pride thing in people where sometimes they don't want to give up, but they just hate the church, I think. I think too in their life, besides pride, they're committing some types of mortal sins, and like I said, in this case, and racism, whatever it is, there's something in their life that they don't like about the church. It's one thing to attack the bad popes and the anti-popes, but attack the church itself and our dogmas, then you got another problem. I'm not answering that guy. I was only going to say throwing out the baby at the bathwater, let him figure it out. Yeah. I said, you threw the baby out the bathwater, I ain't talking to you.
Yeah.
But I didn't even say that. Yeah. But I am going to do another lecture for people like him, but in my own time. Yeah. There's enough out there. You know, when you give people enough stuff and they don't listen, that's why be careful when you're debating people. Because you don't need to try to convince them if they don't listen to, if you know what's, don't think you got to go back and come up with a better argument. Matter of fact, my advice to you is if you're debating people out there and you show them enough, don't even condemn them. You keep talking to them. You're gonna get in sin.
Yeah.
You can still come out and write and go to other people and try to help them, but don't hang on with one person and be stubborn because you want to convince him because he's not listening. Be careful. Don't get that Diamond Brother thing where you think you got to debate everybody.
Yeah. Like, you know that book that our neighbor Upton's
sent
you? She sent another one.
I know.
To us.
I see them in the back of the library all the time.
Oh, really?
Well, she's trying. You got to give her credit. She's trying. At least they believe the United States is bad, if you read it. They're Seventh-day Adventists.
Yeah, yeah.
She's trying. He's right about the United States, though. Anyway, a broken clock tells the right time twice a day. All right, any questions from anybody? Is there anything we missed? I don't think so. But anyway.